The question we're going to have as our poll of the day on Grant and Danny today, you've got to buy stock in one of the two camp standouts on offense in this Commanders rookie class. Wide receiver Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech or Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, who has been the talk of camp, the running back out of Arizona, who was taken in the seventh round, who played in just one college game last year, or else he probably would have been drafted a lot higher. I think just about everybody acknowledges that. He had a weird technicality that led to a suspension that probably shouldn't have happened via the NCAA.
Yeah, you heard about what the exact reason was.
Yeah, it's a strange story.
I mean, it's terrible with just basically a clerical error at an HBCU where he gave his number to someone else and they just assumed that it was him, so he was ruled ineligible. That is a horrible situation for him. Now, luckily, he ended up in Washington, but I would be causing a little more of a fuss if I were him because you just cost me money. If I'm going from like a seventh rounder, potentially third or fourth rounder, it's big time money difference.
Yeah, if I'm his agent, I'm certainly making some phone calls about that. But here's the question. We'll open up the listener lines on this for you right now at 800-636-1067. I think it's better if we just talk about buying stock and you could define it short or long term, however you want to play the game. It doesn't have to be for this rookie season. I think it can just be in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture of this organization. You get to put some money down on the stock of one of these two players. Who you rolling with? Krosky-Merritt or Jalen Lane?
So it's funny because if my hat were backwards, you'd know my answer immediately, right? Toki Altizer, you already know where he's going with the former Hokie, Jalen Lane. But the hat is forward. Because I'm looking at the short term here personally, I think that Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt is going to have a spectacular rookie season where by the middle to end of the year, we're looking at him as the feature back, and you're still going to have Brian Robinson involved in some short yardage stuff. You're still going to have Eckler as a third down back, but 15 carries, the 12 to 15 carry guy, the guy that's going to get the most work as the running back, I could see that being Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. And so even though I think that Jalen Lane probably has the better overall career in the long run, and I think he has a 10-plus year NFL career where he's playing with this team, hopefully for all 10 years, but if not, he's kind of bouncing around or going to other places and being a nice piece, whether it's as a number two receiver, a third receiver, or a gadget guy, whatever it may be. You know, I've talked about how versatile Jalen Lane can be. I think that in the immediate future, specifically for this season, I think that Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt could end up being the lead back versus I don't know that Jalen Lane at any point this season ever gets higher than wide receiver three. So I'll take Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt.
Yeah, it'd be stunning if he did. And frankly, if he got to wide receiver three, that would be a huge win for Jalen Lane. But it's also not realistic necessarily, even if there's a path and we have laid it out. It's not realistic that Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt ends up being the leading running back either, right? I think a lot of people are wish casting that.
I think that can happen.
It can happen, sure. A lot of things could happen, but the odds of it are not very good. You're getting plus 400 on that because Brian Robinson is someone that they have had the opportunity, had they wanted to move on from, to do that, and they haven't. They could have supplanted him with Chris Rodriguez, who's kind of a similar version of him. They have not done that. There's also the fact that and it's different roles and it's different types of backs, but you know Austin Eckler's going to be on the field on a lot of passing downs, on a lot of 2 and 4 minute. He's going to have a substantial role in this offense. He was actually pretty effective last year. I think they were trying to spell him and not overuse him. First and second down running the football, but he was much more efficient in terms of yards per attempt and some of the explosives that he hit than Brian Robinson. So there are at least two veterans that they have sunk energy and time and invested into as a staff. Eckler, who they brought in free agency, and then Robinson, who, not their guy, they didn't draft him in the third round, the Marty Party did, back in 2022, but they have had multiple offseasons to replace him as the RB1, and they have chosen not to do that for whatever reason. That said, I'm going to make the argument for Jalen Lane, because I actually would buy stock in him. The easiest first point to make is that Terry McLaurin is a no-show. Now, when he shows back up, he gets his number one rollback. Like that, clockwork, get back on the field and go get your 7-8 targets a game and make 5 or 6 catches in week one. But until he's back, Toby, as much as we're all assuming that he is not going to miss any game time because he's going to be fined $811,000 if he misses games, we have to at least leave that open as a possibility. Because currently, even if you don't believe it, and I don't, he and his agent are floating this idea that they will not be playing football, right? So, number one, I'll just start with, we have to act as if McLaurin might not be on the field. And if that's true, Noah Brown right now is unavailable coming back from an injury. Deebo Samuel is your wide receiver one. You and I have talked a lot about the fact that he is not a traditional wideout. Now, I do think, let's just, as an aside, talk Deebo for a second. I actually think they're going to use him a lot more like he was used a couple years ago in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan as a wide receiver than as a gadget guy. Because maybe we just don't see a lot of this. I don't know that I've seen him get a handoff at training camp.
No.
I've not really seen him line up in the backfield as a running back like he did in San Fran all the time, or as a personal protector in shotgun, something he did constantly. They haven't really done any of that while we're out there. It's mostly, you know, the craziest it gets is like him in motion or jet or orbit or something behind the line of scrimmage. But by and large, they put him out there. He lines about wide. He catches something behind the line of scrimmage or on a little slant or on a drag route. That's kind of how they're using him.
Yeah, I can recall one time he was in the backfield in a little funky formation that they've used Robinson and Eckler in before. So he's been in the backfield like that situation, but very, very few times. As a matter of fact, it's been almost, you just see this guy lining up in the slot or in motion more so than not or on the outside. He's kind of playing, you would think, a traditional receiver role with the occasional, oh, okay, you're just doing something funky like the Cowboys use CeeDee Lamb in the backfield sometimes, right, just to get a matchup. It's more that nature versus the old Deebo role, which was the wide back or whatever you want to call it, running receiver, what, you know, the mixture. He's kind of more just true receiver.
But that having been said, because that's how they've used him, I think we're in lockstep. There is this possibility that when the season starts, they're doing some stuff when we're not there. There's plenty of days where the media is not around, where practice is closed, and or they just have installs that are still coming closer to the regular season with the good stuff, where maybe Deebo is used more in that Samuel-friendly wideback role, so to speak, right? And if that's the case, now you're talking about taking even more reps at wide receiver away from him. He's also just not durable. He might play in 15 games. He's going to be healthy based on what we know for like 11 or 12 of them tops, right? So I think this is a position group where there is some crumbs to be found. Like there is food in the cupboard that you can unearth here if you're Jalen Lane. And that gets me finally to the camp that he's had. I think he has been their best wide receiver in training camp, not named Deebo Samuel. And I'm not even willing to say that Samuel's been more impressive because Debo's a Pro Bowler, all-pro type. You expect him to be good. Like, nobody has actually taken me aback more than Jalen Lane. When he gets on the field, he makes plays, he gets open, he routes people up, he's twitchy, he runs a sub-4.440. So I am a big believer. I'm buying him, Tobes. I get stock in one guy. He's also going to be a punt returner and play special teams right away. I think Jalen Lane helps them early on this fall. And long term, I just like what I've seen. He looks to me like an NFL receiver. I said this, I think, on Monday. I was talking to Adam Kilgore of the Post, and he said it might be his number and his size. He goes, but tell me what you think about this. I think he's got some Tyler Lockett to him. And I was like, huh. It probably is the number, and it probably is his size, but I totally get that. If he has that kind of career, let's all do cartwheels. But I'm a Jalen Lane guy.
Yeah, and I mean, you like the mentality this kid has. He's been calling Brian Mitchell, trying to get some pointers on returning kicks and all that stuff. So he's got the right, he's got his head screwed on right. He understands learning from guys and doing everything he can to get better in that sense. And I think in terms of receiver, like I've said before, I think he could be their most versatile alongside Deebo in terms of what he can do, where he can run down the field, which he didn't do a lot of at Tech. He can do a little bit of everything, whether you want to get him a quick screen on a bubble, whether you want to throw him a shallow, whatever it may be, he can kind of do a little bit of everything. But the reason that I go with Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, again, Grant, is I know it's a little far-fetched to think that he's going to take over, but they needed an explosive back. They needed someone that, when they're running the read option, it's not handed off to the plotter that might break one tackle and get me 5 yards. I need a guy that if he breaks a tackle, he's going 50. And we've seen that from Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. And he can bounce and look. This is maybe a little bit of an overreaction to early camp. We haven't seen him in pads. We haven't seen him take live reps. They haven't played a preseason game yet.
Well, in fairness, my takes on Jalen Lane are almost certainly an overreaction to early camp, too.
And that's going to happen, right?
That's all we got. But that's all we can do right now is watch practice.
Exactly. And so from what I've seen with Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, he's impressive enough as a running back that I think as the season wears on, this isn't something that happens week one. This isn't something that happens week two. But as it goes on, you know, week five, he gets five carries and he's like, oh, okay, maybe I'll start involving him a little bit more. And all of a sudden, towards the end of the year, this guy's getting 10, 12, maybe even up to 15 carries as the lead guy. Because when I'm running a read option with Jaden and they're playing Jaden, I want a guy that can also take it to the house. B-Rob is solid. He'll get you 5 yards, but I can live with that as my second guy. I want the first guy on my offense as a running back. When I hand him the ball, I want him to be a home run hitter, especially in this offense, and I think Kroski Merritt has that.
Well, I'd kill for five at a B-Rob. The problem is he'll get you 3.7,
well, exactly.
Generally speaking. But yes, I mean, he is a singles hitter who could occasionally drive a ball into the gap for a double. I have longed for a home run threat. I don't even need a home run hitter. Doesn't need to be Adam Dunn, right? But I need someone who could just hit the ball over the fence. And I think he's got that club in the bag, and they have not had that back in a while. So I'm with you. I'm pulling for Merritt. I'm all in on trying to get him more opportunities. I would definitely spend this preseason feeding him, getting him ready, getting him in shape, and he would get touches for me in week one if it seems like he is worthy and you know, capable in that way, because it's the only way you're going to find out is to give him the chances. Why not? I just like the ability to get up the field. It just seems like he does everything a little bit quicker with a little more urgency. Everything is sudden. There's an aggressiveness, an explosiveness to his game. So I both of these guys to me, and I'm sure you're high on Lane as well.
Correct.
As I am on Merritt, should be able to help them. But this is the question we're posing to you guys right now. You can hop in if you'd like on our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. And go vote on our Twitter account, Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, 3 decades of moving the DMV. Let them do your heavy lifting and take it to the house. More at dcmetropolitanmoving.com. Who would you buy stock in of the two rookies here on offense? Wide receiver Jalen Lane or running back Jacory Kroski Merritt? Here's what I find really interesting. I would have assumed when we posed this as a poll that everyone would have gone Merritt because he's been the talk of camp and he seems like a fan favorite. Right now, 55% are saying Jalen Lane, 45% are saying Merritt. Is that about McLaurin? Like, what do you take out of that?
I think it's partially everybody loves Jacory Kroski Merritt, but he's a seventh rounder, right? Like, it's the, okay, this is a nice story versus a fourth round receiver. Okay, that's just a round behind where Terry McLaurin was, and look where what he turned out to be. And also, maybe for this area, a little more familiarity with Jalen Lane, having watched this kid at Virginia Tech. He's electric. I think any Tech fan that watched this team over the last couple of years could tell you that when he was taken in the fourth round, whether it was here or anywhere else, they thought he could be a good NFL wide receiver. So I think there's a little bit of that as well.
He was taken 28 picks after where Luke McCaffrey went last year. And I'm not trying to come down on Luke, who I think's actually had a pretty good training camp, but there has not been a sequence of practices in camp where McCaffrey has stood out to me in any way like Lane has in the last calendar week or so before they went to Foxborough. You know, 10 or so days leading up to their departure for this joint practice. And we're going to catch up with John Keim at some point in the back half of the show, somewhere in the 5 o'clock hour. Who was out there today? I want to ask if Lane stood out, because this was a significant test for guys like him and Jacory Kroski Merritt and Trey Amos, the young guys on this team, in trying to determine and find out, like, okay, so you routed up some of the corners you've been going against every single day. You've memorized their tendencies. You know what defenses and coverages you're getting. You know, how do you look when you play New England? It's going to be a different scenario. But the problem with my answer on Lane is this. If McLaurin comes back, then you might not see a lot of Jalen Lane early in the season. We've also seen with this coaching staff that being a very young wide receiver makes it a little bit more complicated to get on the field. They were more willing last year to go with Olamide Zaccheaus than the guys that they drafted. They would rather have trotted out Jamison Crowder, who they claimed and brought back, than, say, a Luke McCaffrey. So they're not just going to put you out there because you were drafted in the fourth round.
Yeah, and I really like him for his versatility, but if you're just going to throw him out there for his ability to make stuff happen after the catch, it's a little redundant when that's what Deebo Samuel was brought here to do, right? I mean, if you're going to say, which of these guys would I rather throw a screen to, Jalen Lane or Deebo Samuel, both are good options, but you didn't bring Deebo Samuel here for Jalen Lane to be the one getting those balls, right? I think there is an opportunity for both those guys to be on the field, but also with Noah Brown out there, Noah Brown's a much better blocker, right? He's someone that you can depend on the outside to block. We saw a play earlier in training camp where Jalen Lane was out there, and he was asked to block Mikey Samristil, and Mikey Samristil, if they would have been full pads, would have put him on his butt. So he's not going to be able to block for a Deebo Samuel like a Noah Brown can. So in those sorts of situations, who's going to be on the field in the three wide receiver set? Noah Brown, Deebo, and Terry. So to your point, maybe he runs into some situations, but I also think there's a possibility, again, by the end of the year, as these guys grow, that you could have Deebo on one side, Jalen Lane on the other, and it's a similar type of gravitational pull where you have to be ready for a screen for either one of those guys, and one of them's motioning, whatever you're doing. You can get really frisky with the offense by using both of those guys in
so
a similar role.
Right? Deebo's going to rely on physicality, violence, running through dudes, running into dudes, pinballing off of people. Lane, it's just wiggle. You know, it is quickness. One of these guys you can't touch in a phone booth. I mean, he ran a 4.34 40 at the combine. 4.34 is 40-yard dash time. And to your point, I think he's listed 5'10". I'm not even sure if he's, you know, a true 5'10 without cleats on. He's not a big guy at all. He's not particularly heavy either. But that's coaching, is to make sure. I don't want that guy blocking necessarily as the guy that has to make sure a play works, that he's going to pin a corner and get him to the sideline. Like, when he's on the field, it doesn't mean every single time he's got to be running routes. That would be a tell that doesn't work. But you just can't ask that a play is dead or alive based on him being able to win in a blocking assignment.
And one of the difficult things, too, is he struggled against press coverage is one of the things coming out, and he primarily works out of the slot. And again, if you're running a three wide receiver set and your outside guys are Terry and Noah Brown, who's your slot guy? Deebo. And Debo's worked a lot in the slot in training camp, so he's going to have to supplant some ways there, whether it's Deebo goes outside and he works in the slot. There's definitely some interference where early on in the year, he's probably going to work as that fourth receiver. But if he's kind of rotating, depending upon what they're trying to do with that third receiver with Noah Brown, I think there's absolutely a way that he could be very, very impactful right away. And just some ways that you can move guys around the football field. And I think having him and Deebo in the offense together allows them to be really, really unique in the way that they can run stuff.